Hello, and welcome to the What Atta Said podcast, where we share our candid conversations about life, love, and everything in between. My name is Audrey, and we're reunited. The four of us are here. Antoinette, Vinning, and Eloisa.
Hey,
let's get it. Let's go. Reunited,
and it feels so, so good.
Yes. Okay, Ooh. So how are we?
Oh!
I don't know that
We're
song,
good, though.
We are. Antoinette, and you get on your level. And I think that the three of us in general, Vinning, Eloisa, and I, need to get a bit warmed up. So let's get our traditions back
on.
In order.
Yes.
And let's start with an icebreaker. So, Antoinette, you and I already answered this question, but Vinning and Eloisa weren't given the opportunity for their Q&A. My question to the two of you is, who are your partner's hole passes and who are your own hole passes? So first start with your partner's one. So Arvin and Ronnie's respectively. Let's see.
This was in your last episode of Q&A, right?
Yes, it was. And we shared that my one is Hwasa from Mamamoo. Hottie, certified hottie.
She is hottie.
Let's sizzle.
Eloisa, I can see you pondering. It looks like you're like really taking this opportunity of us talking shit to really pen and find an answer. I'm putting it on you now to answer.
Arvin's a good boy.
I know. I was trying to think of mine. Mine would be like Justin. I go for singers because I just feel like they could serenade me just all the time. Yes. First one, I'd go with Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber, like what
era?
What era? That's the word I was
what
looking
era?
For. Like this era,
maybe like last year, Justin Bieber.
What's wrong with this year, okay. Justin Bieber?
Okay. He's a little bit like meh at the moment.
Like purpose, Justin Bieber.
No, yeah, his new album, Changes, but Justin Bieber.
Oh, Changes.
Changes.
The new one.
Changes?
Oh, Purpose.
Ah.
Which one's the new one?
Yeah.
I thought Purpose was
Peaches?
The new one. I don't know. But I love him. I loved him last year. Maybe that's why. My other one is probably Ariana Grande, just because she's like, you know.
Yeah.
She seems very good on the streets, but a freak in a bed.
Yeah.
That 34, 35 shit. Just kidding. and this is really random, but I would also... Like, I really like Kanye West's smile.
Well,
you're just listing
really nice
songs
smile.
You like now. No, he has a really nice smile, don't you think?
Oh, I thought you meant like his song. When he does smile, that is.
Yeah, it's very, you don't see it often, but when he smiles, I'm like, oh, that's cute. So maybe him. But for Arvin, I really don't know. I've asked him this before because I've obviously said to him, you know, if Justin Bieber's there, I'm going to go. JTG. And he said, I don't really know, but I feel like it would be Princess Leia from Star Wars.
Oh, have you?
Okay. You know.
All right.
Okay.
I love how it's a character.
Well, but how is it? How would that work? Because she's passed.
Wait, do you mean Princess Leia or the one in like... Luke Skywalker's...
Do you mean Natalie Portman?
Yeah, do you mean Natalie Portman?
I don't watch Star Wars, but I know that he likes her because of the space buns.
I think it might be Natalie Portman because...
Well, what's her character's name?
Padme.
Padme, that's it. That's
yeah.
It.
Ask him later, doll. Is it Padme?
Or is it...
Maybe
Leia.
If I say Padme because he doesn't know... He knows that I don't watch Star Wars. Maybe he might turn around and be like...
Oh. Baby girl, where's your space buns?
And probably her. Yeah, I think, yeah, her.
She is a bit of a delight, a little bit of a afternoon
She's an intellectual,
snack.
An intellectual
oh,
delight.
Yes.
Vinning, you've had a bit of time to think and ponder, or were you engaged in this conversation and you couldn't think about your own answer?
Well... I don't know about Ronnie's, to be honest. I don't know.
He doesn't like follow.
Yeah, when I think about when we were growing up, I don't remember him having like an intense celebrity crush.
Yeah. Mm.
He just liked cars and Toy Story.
And SSX.
No, the Incredibles. The Incredibles.
Yes, Incredibles. Sorry. Yep.
Maybe he likes, what's the girl in?
Elastigirl.
Elastigirl.
She's thick.
She is. Let me think.
Thick lives save lives, ladies.
True, what about yours, Vinny, then, in that case?
Well, as a lot of people know, I have a current obsession with BTS right now.
Jungkook.
And so, yeah, I think Jungkook would be...
Oh, Jungkook for number one. Yeah, actually, after Asian we stopped Justin recording... Bieber. Yeah, after we stopped recording last week and I said I didn't have a man crush, I forgot about Jungkook and I was like, oh, I know. I accidentally forgot. But yes, I agree with you, Vinny. Jungkook is a total vibe. Oh.
Oh. He is.
He's three meals in a day.
Oh. You know what? After recording as well, Audrey, I totally forgot to throw Michael B. Jordan in there.
Oh, yeah.
My God. That is a good one.
Everyone else, vanilla. Where's my chocolate? Where's my chocolate truffle? That's my chocolate truffle. And I've forgotten about him. He's
a looker.
Oh.
He's a zaddy.
I would gobble him up, let me just say.
Okay, before we get carried away, I think that we're sufficiently warmed up. So I'm going to segue into our topic for today. So today we're talking all things confidence, building it, rebuilding it, and... Yeah, whether it be in the workspace, through our body image, in our relationships, we're going to be discussing all things about confidence. So let's get it, girls. Let's get it. Woo! Okay, so to start off, I wanted to ask you guys, let's speak about the situations that have caused us to lose confidence, particularly first in our appearance, because I think that body image, I know that we've spoken about it previously in other episodes, but let's really get into the nitty-gritty of it. Were there situations that cause you, that you recall to lose your confidence in how you looked and how you felt in your body? Every day when I look in the mirror.
Oh, I'm so sad.
I'm so sad. But it's true. Like, you know, not every day, but sometimes when I look in the mirror with my glasses on, when I'm not wearing my glasses, I'm like, oh, it's all good. It's just a blob.
Oh, as in because you're blind.
Because I can't see.
Oh my gosh, Audrey.
But when I have glasses on, it's like, oh, that's how I look. Sometimes I actually do look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I look really good. But then other days, yeah, you kind of just have those days where you just don't feel particularly yourself. And I can't think at the moment as to a recent instance. But, you know, you wake up, you look in the mirror and it's like, oh, I don't look like what social media shows. Mirrors.
I feel like it's definitely social media that makes you feel bad about yourself. I remember back like when back in like the Tumblr days where people would, what did you do? You reposted? Was it reposting photos or something? I think so.
Yeah, something like that. Reblog?
Reblog? I don't know. I can't remember the terminology. But you basically had your own blog post for those who aren't old enough to know what Tumblr is. And there's just like you just scroll through. It's kind of like Instagram. You scroll through looking at photos. But then if you like a photo, you can repost it onto your page. Mm. And then your sense of self and identity is basically like whatever you repost on your page. Anyway,
it's
back then it was
Pinterest.
Really big. Kind of like Pinterest. Yeah. Anyway, I remember like back then, my page used to be filled with like Victoria's Secret model photos, and like particularly like them on runways and like in their really skinny bodies and really flashy like lingerie, and I was always like, oh, I don't look like that. I wish I was tall. I wish I had like skinny long legs. Like, yeah. That always put me down a couple pegs.
Yeah, it does. But then you have to, you remember that like they're also put under a filter.
Yeah.
For broadcasting.
But you kind of just think that that's what they look like all the time.
Yeah, you do. You do. It's hard to reconcile. It's nice to see though that advertisements nowadays, they do show more diverse bodies, which is really nice to see. But yeah, seeing a lot of influencers, I think in particular, especially with Facetune, man, like that messes with you too. Antoinette, do you have any instances? And I know that you actually said that you've never really felt issues with your body image, but does anything spark in you at all? Or
yeah, I don't particularly have any major moments that I can remember. However, there were times in primary school and high school, I may have mentioned this previously, where like we were playing soccer and it was in high school, and this girl goes, "Get out of my way, shorty." And like, so like height was definitely a thing. It was something that was always on my mind, because I was just like, I wish I was taller. But then I thought about it and I was like, for what? Like, what like major highlights would I gain from being tall? Like, and for gaining that extra like few centimeters, because it's like the guys I still like me.
Yeah.
There's like no reason. I think it was that. And again, another thing I mentioned, like the big lips, I would avoid wearing like lip glosses because like big lips were not a thing. And like the gloss would just over exaggerate that. And I would avoid doing things like that. But it never particularly affected me to where I would have kind of lifelong or permanent implications on that. So I'm kind of fortunate in that regard that I was able to just like accept who I was quite early. But I can totally understand just how much social media can affect one's psyche if you are already damaged in the sense of your physical appearance and how you see yourself at the end of the day.
The thing with social media, though, is that it's like those thoughts that you have, they're internal. I find that the thing that hurts most is when family say things.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, because then it's like, oh, it's not just inside my head. You know, people see it and they're seeing it enough that they would like to comment about it. And that can really, you know, put you down a few pegs, as you say, Vinny, because when someone actually says it, that's when it becomes more real, I guess, for me at least. Because then it's not just a thought, it's a reality kind of thing.
Like they've kind of just reaffirmed what you've been thinking.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not, like they assure it in a really negative light. So growing up a bit heavier, it was something that did come up a lot. You'd just be at a family party and then a small comment of like, oh, you're so big. And it's like, oh, you know, could have just said hello. How are you? But alas, you know. Do any of you guys have experiences similar to that?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah?
Weight's always something that they always mention. And it's like, for me, it was like, oh, you're so skinny. And then like, you know, next time they'll say, oh, you've gained so much weight. And it's like, what? You literally told me I was skinny like last time I saw you.
Yeah.
So what is it that you actually, I don't know. I feel like, especially with family, it's almost like they just say it. They just need to make some sort of comment about your weight, whether it's like positive or negative. It's like they just have to make a comment.
Yeah. Why can't it be about, like, what's inside, you know? not what, yeah, like it doesn't impact who I am if I'm a bit heavier or if I'm a bit lighter. So why do you have to make comment about it? Yeah. Eloisa, were you going to add anything into that that little part?
Yes, well, I think I've mentioned before the other ones that I've been that like recently when I was wearing a singlet and they were like, you know, pinching my flabs and stuff. And they always like to pinch my bum and say that I have a big bum, and then they like to pinch like the side of my stomach as well. And then they just like to point it out, I guess. But I think the most recent one that I got, well, it's not recent now, it was a while ago, when we went to our family trip, we were in the spa and this person was in the spa with myself and my mom. And then she goes to my mom and says in Filipino, like, what's wrong with her face because of my acne. And then like my mom had my back and stuff, which was really nice. But it was just like, I'm on a trip around family and you don't really want to wear makeup and you just want to like hang out and chill.
Yeah, it's a holiday.
Yeah. And obviously like I'm in like a bikini, like I was in a one piece and they were just commenting on my weight and my skin. And I was just like, oh, this is not the place to be at the moment.
But yeah. And when they say it in Tagalog, thinking that like you can't understand, it's like, bro, I'm right here.
Yeah.
I can understand exactly what you're saying.
And you guys were there. The spa is very small.
Yeah.
How do you regain your confidence from those comments and so on?
In that case, go home and cry.
Do you feel that it's a constant battle? Yeah. Yeah. Is it just a continual battle now, or have you been able to find peace with and like kind of shut out those comments?
I don't think there will ever be a time when I would feel at peace with it, just because it's just, I would never say that, you know? So I think just dealing with it differently, like I was speaking to Arvin about it a while ago, and I was just like, babe, I don't know how to like not lash out when people say that to me. I don't know what to do. And so I was trying to reach out for advice from him, and he was just saying like, you know, just kill them with kindness and just take a step back and just take a deep breath instead of like lashing out straight away, I think. So it's hard to, it's sad to say that this is just something that you have to cope with, but I guess in terms of like, not going home and like feeling crappy about yourself, like I feel at peace now. And I think it's only because I haven't seen anyone for a really long time. Maybe that's why I'm at peace so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think, yeah, just how to deal with it and how to treat and how to go about it. Because before that,
how do you deal with it currently?
How do I deal with it currently? I usually just write to myself. Like I try not to say, this person said this about me. I try to take it out in a way of like, I'm proud of how I dealt with it. I don't see myself in this way. And I like to write something positive about my body. So instead of like writing like, I hate this and I hate that, just writing something positive and making sure that, yeah, it's hard. It's a hard thing to deal with. I'm still struggling, but I mean, yeah, like the space at the moment is good to heal.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Is a part of you a bit worried about when we do reunite with the wider family?
Yes.
That those feelings of anxiety and worry will come back up. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
How often do you write in that journal?
I try to write in it every day.
Oh, you try to write in every day? So yeah. Like you say a positive comment about yourself every day. That's really good.
And I try to just like, not try to write a positive thing about myself. I try to like just write some daily affirmations and just try to go by it. Try my best.
May I ask what your positive, what was it? Positive affirmation? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Positive affirmation. Yeah.
Yeah.
May I ask what was your positive affirmation for either yesterday or today, if you already have one?
for yesterday, it's kind of, well, for, I try to put this at least once a week. I was like, I will see the positive in the negative.
Oh, okay.
And my other one was, I will drink water.
You will.
This is a reminder to all our listeners to have a sip of water right now. Have you done that? Okay, good. Thank you. Vinny, I wanted to ask you, I wonder if this is gonna be a bit of a winding road, because I don't have this question fully formed in my head just yet, but bear with me, okay?
Take me on that road, sis.
We're gonna be tripping a lot. Get ready. I recall that prior to powerlifting, your family, I'm just gonna say more broadly, were concerned about how it would impact the way that you look, that you would look bulky. So then I was wondering, how did you push through those criticisms?
I think because for me, I was doing powerlifting because of how it made me felt. And I kind of just put that above what anyone else thought about my body, because what I was doing before, I felt so shit about myself. And I was like, I'm not going to let anyone try and take me back to what I was feeling like before, because I finally found something that actually makes me feel good about my body. It's like, I don't actually care what anyone else thinks anymore.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did the noise ever get to you though?
At the start, I mean, that was the one time that I really snapped at my mom, when she made a comment about, like, just about my weight and like lifting in general was going to make you bulky. I'm like, why do you care so much about how much I weigh? Like, it doesn't affect you at all. Like, like whether I'm skinny or if I gain weight, like, you're going to make a comment about it anyway, and it doesn't make me feel good. So like, just stop commenting about my weight. And it actually worked. She actually did stop making comments about my weight. And I think around like the same time, she was like starting to get into Instagram. And so she would like obviously follow me on Instagram. And I think that she realized, like, watching me do powerlifting or just like exercising in general, I think it made her realize that, like, it's actually – like, I don't know. I think it put things into perspective for her. That, like, for me, it's not about how I look. It's just, it's more about, you know, what I can do. So, yeah, I haven't had, like,
man, it was good that you were able to have that conversation with your mum.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a conversation.
Mum, stop.
Yeah, basically. But I think that was because the first time that I ever really, like, said anything about it, because when I was younger, I would just cop it, you know, like,
yeah,
internalize it, whatever. But I think as I got older and I like found my voice a little bit, I was just like, I'm just so sick of this shit, because I'm so sick of telling myself all the stuff that you're saying to me when I was younger, and I've gotten over that myself, and I don't want to deal with the outside voices anymore either. So
If only we could just, like, Eloisa, have you ever lashed out to people on the spot?
Ask Annie.
It's hard, like, for Esnette, have you been witness to this?
Yes, and like Loy will kind of like lose words, but I can see it boiling in her, and I'm just like, leave her alone.
Yeah. Have you found that it worked? Because it worked for Vinning. Has it worked to an extent, or no, not really?
Me? With lashing out?
Yeah.
It feels good.
It winning.
I mean, if it's very temporary for me, because I am when I scream, I cry. So it's just like, what is she feeling right now? Is she angry or is she sad? So it's temporary, but then like if I take a step out of it, I feel... And then I go home and I really think about it. I get so sad, because I'm just like, why would you say that about someone? Why would you want to hurt them? when they're your family, you know? So it makes me more upset. Mm. And the fact that it gets to that point where you need to lash out is what makes me more upset as well, because like, I don't like it. I don't like the way it makes me feel. And the fact that you took me to that level is very like upsetting for our relationship. Because sometimes it's like, it's forgivable because they're your family, but at the same time, it's really something that you would not say, like something that's not forgivable to another person. You know what I mean? But you have to forgive them because they're your family.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I guess because they are family, like they feel like they have the ability to make those comments.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like they just don't have a filter, or sometimes they genuinely in their head think that they're helping you by being honest.
Actually, that is a good, yeah.
But it's like there's a time and place, and if you were really helping me, you would come and talk to me in private to learn more about the situation I'm in, as opposed to just guesstimating and just putting it out to other people, for other people to know, as opposed to you. Mm.
Sorry. Do you think there's also a bit of like a generational thing there where I guess our generation, there's more talk around mental health and the impacts of people's words on, you know, your psyche. And maybe that wasn't really a conversation they had growing up. And so it's kind of like they don't realize that their words, even if they have good intentions behind them, can sort of, you know, make someone feel really shit about themselves. I don't know.
I don't know. It's a good point.
I would agree. I would agree. Because I genuinely think that, like, they you're right, V, like they have good intentions, but it's just like they haven't truly recognized the importance of educating yourself and having the discussions about mental health as like today. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the way in which they think that they're helping you is just by forwardly asking you. And it's like, sometimes you just need someone to just be like a silent support and just ask if everything is okay in general. But yeah, I would say yes to the general cultural difference in age.
I wonder if it's because you can see it, whereas with mental health issues, you can't.
So then the assumption is plays a part.
Yeah. So then because they can see that you've either gained weight or you've lost weight, there must be either something that's going really well for you or something that's not going very well for you. And they want to know, but they don't know the best way to go about like actually asking you the root cause. They'll just make the comment and chuck it out there. And whatever comes reeled in, that's what comes that's what comes. But yeah, it gives a bit of food for thought.
Even just the knowledge that like mental health and physical health they're not separate things. Yeah. Like they are intertwined, and you know, if you are suffering mentally, you can also suffer physically as well. And I think that traditionally people have treated those things, you know, kind of very separately, like mental health has no effect on physical health and vice versa, whereas now it's we understand that that's not true.
So I think that we've covered the space of body image. So I wanted to go on to losing confidence in the workspace. I recall that when we were brainstorming our topics for this season, that when this particular subtopic of confidence in work came up, I was like, no, I don't have anything. Like I'm the boss bitch at work. I know everything. I got it. I'm so comfortable in my workspace. And then, what would you call it? A restructure occurred in my workplace, unfortunately. And as a manager, I was put in a position which I've never been in before, where I had to make a decision as to the makeup of my team, which resulted in a bit of shuffling amongst my staff members. And then I was like, oh, I understand what it means to lose confidence in work. Because it was a new experience for me. Along the way, I questioned a lot of the things I decided, the decisions I made. So I won't go into the specifics of the situation, but essentially there were two ongoing roles in the workplace, in my team. I already had three staff members who were in those roles. And in addition to that, the job posting was going to be open to everybody within that particular organization. So there were going to be more applications and more people who were going to be applying it for the two roles, but I already had three people. So I had to make a decision as to who would be retained and who unfortunately wouldn't be able to be kept in my team. And through that process, I really, it wasn't a decision made with a very like light heart. There were many nights where I was very anxious. Mm-hmm. Had I done enough for the person that was unsuccessful? Did I do the right thing? Did I make the right decision? Now a month later, I feel very good with the decision I made. But I will say that there were a lot of periods within the process, and that was like a 3-month process, where I really questioned my ability to manage staff because I felt that I didn't give the unsuccessful candidate enough tools to succeed in interviewing for that role, unfortunately, regardless of the fact that they had already been in that role for a bit of time. So I questioned my ability as a manager and my ability to lead. So look, I lost confidence in that space. And I'm still trying to find my footing in terms of managing staff and being the best team leader I can be. But I'm wondering from your guys' perspective, have you had not necessarily a similar experience, because I don't know if you've managed staff before, but have you found that at work you're trucking along fine. Everything's all good. Something comes up and then you start questioning every move you take, or you have lost confidence in your ability to fulfill the roles that you have in your workplace. The floor is open.
So, Audrey, just on the footnote of your story, I was actually one of the people who were reshuffled.
Yes.
Or actually made redundant. Yes. Not only that, but after I was made redundant from one workplace because of a reshuffling, I wasn't made redundant from the second workplace. However, they closed their Melbourne office. And so I wasn't going to be making the move to Sydney just after some financial and personal and home life decisions. I didn't make the move to Sydney. So I lost that job too. So my perspective would be from someone who's not even just lost confidence in the workplace, but lost confidence in career life in general, really. It took a lot out of me, because when you're made redundant, obviously these things they're corporate and business restructures that can't be helped sometimes. And the businesses most of the time don't want to have to do that, don't want to have to lose staff. And so it was hard, because you obviously internalize things like, oh, what if I did more? What if I just applied myself a little bit better? Maybe I would have been considered to just be moved into a different department, or somebody would have been swayed to keep me on. And then having to regain the confidence of putting yourself back out into the workforce after having that experience twice in a row. There was a lot of things to consider, and it takes a really long time to kind of regain that confidence in yourself. And to even just like, I remember after it happening twice, I was like, I was afraid to put my resumes out there. I was afraid to apply online, just being paranoid that it would happen a third time.
Yeah, of course.
Especially it happening in the beginning of the COVID, like the COVID climate. And I was like, well, I'm probably going to lose my job again. And I just have to realize that some of the things that happened can't be helped. And it's only, these things are only going to affect me if I let them. And if I'm in this slump, kind of feeling financially, emotionally, and career wise, what's the word I'm looking for? Sluggish? I don't know. I mean, I'm the only one that's going to be able to take myself out of that situation. Yeah. So, yeah, sometimes things can't be helped, hey?
No, they can't. And, I try to reframe it as, like, an opportunity for that staff member. Like, it could be an opportunity for them to branch out in other spaces. You try to find the silver linings. I wonder if, were you trying to find the silver linings? Because you're on the other side of that, like my position.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, how did you kind of find the positive in it? Or did you find the positive in it?
Yeah, I sure did. Like, when it comes to career, I'm a firm believer of everything happens for a reason, like just in life in general. And if one door closes, it's because there's another door that's meant for you. And I specifically really do apply that notion to my career. I just kept on telling myself, you know, it's because God has something lined up for me already and I just don't know it yet, but it's going to be good. And there was a silver lining, because had I not had that experience at the first place where I was made redundant, I would never have even been considered for the position that I was in the next workplace. And then in that second workplace, had I not even gained any of the skill and knowledge, I would not be able to have the position that I'm in currently, or any of the skill. Like, I don't know what I would be doing, to be quite frank. So I just took it as, this is a work pathway, but I'm just going to have to do it at different businesses for now.
Yeah. I remember my boss said to me that, because we weren't sure about our roles either at the start. He was just like, it's a temporary inconvenience. You know, we'll land on our feet eventually. Like, I know that we're capable. It's just that, with restructures, it's not as much as it will feel personal. It's not personal.
Yeah. And to bring it back to even body image, like even though it is personal, like they're talking about you, it is like a temporary inconvenience, because you will find a way out. You will find your feet again. And whether that's just, whether that maybe, I don't know, if you do want to change that particular thing that's affecting you, or whether you find coping mechanisms to just deal with those situations. I can't remember where I was going with this point.
This is a candid conversation with the What I Said podcast. We do trail off sometimes, and that's okay.
Yes. Sorry, I've lost you, Artes.
Have you guys, Vinny and Eloisa, experienced a time when you have lost work at lost confidence at work? And can you please explain the situation? If you don't, oh good, I'm proud of you. Get it, girl.
I have many of times.
Please explain. Please disclose with us more detail.
The workplace that I work at now, I loved before I even started working there. I looked up to them a lot. And to be able to work in that workplace, I was so honored. But at the same time, I was so scared, because I'm like, oh my God, they're like the people that I would look up to in this industry. And I'm working with them now, and I'm so scared to say anything. something that was always talked about in my the really good thing about my work is that we have one-on-one meetings all the time. Like, it's not just a year review. You see them like almost every month, and then with another boss, like every 3 months. So something that's that really was good. Always said in my reviews was like, you need to be more confident in what you share. We know that you have like really good strategies and stuff, but you don't share them. And I would always just be like, no, I'm too scared. Like, you guys have better ideas than I do. Like, I'm not, like, I don't feel confident like in saying anything. So in order to move on from like, a job role and get promoted, that was something that I needed to work on. That's something that they wanted me to work on, was confidence. So I was really lucky that they could see it from my perspective as well, that like, I'm just a shy person. I mean, I'm not a shy person. I'm very loud, but in terms of like being at the workplace and sharing my ideas, I'm always so scared of like being wrong.
Well, to be fair though, the kind of job that you do have, it requires you to be creative. So if you were to be rejected, it's kind of questioning your creativity. So I can understand why you would be unsure about sharing those ideas, because it's questioning your ability to be creative. And
yeah,
it takes a lot out of a person to be creative. So I can understand why.
Yeah. And we're always just in meetings of like, what can we do for this person? What can we do for like this client and this client? And so to not share my ideas makes me look like I'm not a good strategist and I can't do my job right. So I would understand that I need the confidence in my workplace, which is something that I always struggle with. Like, I always struggle with like saying things, because I don't like to look stupid and I don't like to look wrong. Like, I always want to have a right answer. And in the industry that I work for, it's hard because you don't know if your idea is good. You have to test it out to do it. And I'm like, I don't want to fail anyone. I don't want to fail a client. So yeah, confidence in the workplace is always a struggle for me. But I guess you just have to be like, every time before I go into work, if I'm not having a good day, I'm like, I am here. I talk to myself, I'm like, you are meant to be here. They hired you here for a reason. Now go, girl, and do your thing. So yeah, just being confident within myself. Like, confidence is always really hard for me, I guess.
Has your workplace ever made you feel like you have suggested something wrong, so then it's made you like go into your shell even more so? Or it's just something that you've kind of internalized yourself?
Definitely internalized, because they always ask me as well. So they're like, what about you? Like, what do you think, Eliza? Like, and then, cause they always know that I need that push. So they have never felt like that they have never felt or shown me that my ideas were smaller than theirs, because they're all so lovely. And like, the space that I'm in now in my workplace, they're so welcoming and so kind. So it's like, why wouldn't you not share your ideas and stuff? It's definitely like an internal thing, I think. And it's probably because of the past workplaces that I've worked at that have made me feel not so confident, I guess. But yeah, internal.
Have you been able to hit those KPIs?
I feel like I'm hitting them. And it's really great, because my recent review, they were like, we're really proud that you can like share your ideas now. And they've definitely seen like a confidence boost in me. And this was during COVID. So I think it was just, I always like to compare myself to others. And I think that's why I have trouble with confidence. So if I'm always like, oh, I know that this person will have a better idea, I'm just not going to say anything. So I was always struggling with comparing myself and my workmates. So going out of that and stepping into during COVID, when we were able to work from home, I was really able to focus on my own thoughts and my own ideas.
Yeah.
So they were able to see that confidence in me and that I can work from home and I can work by myself without the need of others and create my own ideas and strategies and stuff like that. So you're bloody hype.
Do you feel less worried now than when you started, or you still have that same level of worry every day?
I still have that worry, but now it's because I'm taking a new direction into what I want to do at my work. So, because I'm very new to it, like, I'm very scared of, like, saying the things that I need to do, but the things that I've worked on for the past 2 years that I have worked with them, I'm more confident in that aspect. It's just obviously when you're learning new things, it's just very like, help me. Help.
Help. As a manager, it's hard to instill confidence in your work, in your staff. I find it very hard because I can easily say to my staff, be more confident. I trust your judgment. But then like, and I want them to feel the fact that I do trust their judgment, but they will still constantly have that worry like you do, Eloisa. And I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to make them be more confident, because it's easy to just say that, be more confident. Like, your boss would probably be saying, be more confident. But what are the actions that she takes to make you have that confidence? This is a good tip for me if like, because she's been a manager for longer than I have. So like, I might be able to, you know, take some tips from her. If you've noticed anything that she's done to make you instill confidence in your daily work.
I'm not saying that she like gives me a gold sticker every time I do something right. She just like really means what she says. So when she's like, I really like that you came up with this idea, that's definitely like a confidence booster, as well as like a client. If a client comes back to me and says like, you know, that was a really great idea, let's implement that. What can we do next? I think that is definitely a confidence booster coming from a client. But I think from her side, it's just really supporting me and letting me go, I guess. Like,
yeah,
when I see that she doesn't,
micromanaging.
Yeah, when she doesn't like always contact me or like lets me do my own thing, I definitely think that is a confidence booster to know that I can work on my own.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I need to start like, not start, but I need to loosen the reins a bit more, because I think in my own workplace, because I tend to be the subject matter expert, people usually come to me SME? To fix yeah the SME terminology, I hate it. People typically come to me to fix things, so then I'm just used to just knowing the answer rather than letting my staff come to learn the answer. Like, I'll know it or how to do it already, and I'll be like, just do this. So maybe loosening the reins is probably what I need to do more of. Thank you, Eloisa, for those tips from your manager. If you notice anything else, please send them through. Because I'm trying to be the best manager I can be, because that experience previously, it wasn't a nice feeling letting someone else go, you know, that I've been working with quite closely. It's not nice. And I wish I had done much more for them than I feel like I did. So any tips that even our artists have or Kuyas have, please send them through, DM them to me, because I'm still learning how to be a manager. It's really hard managing people. It sounds good on paper, like having the manager title, but it's actually really hard. Winning. Have you ever felt unsure in the workplace and lost confidence? And if so, how did you restore that confidence and rebuild it?
I don't know about losing confidence, because a lot of the time I don't have it to begin with.
Similar to Eloisa in that instance. It's similar to Eloisa.
But what I actually do is, because I feel like I don't have a lot of self-confidence to begin with, so I kind of like adopt this alter ego where I almost become like a different person who is really confident and outspoken and has a lot of self-esteem. And that's just kind of how I've like interviewed in my jobs or presented at my jobs. Yeah. Like, I just become a different person. I don't know if that's healthy, but that's how I think
it really manifests the fake it till you make it.
100%. Yeah, I fake it till I make it so hard. Yeah.
But I remember you saying that when you pick up the phone, when you talk to clients, you put on an Aussie accent like no tomorrow. Is that still true?
If I'm speaking to a middle-aged Aussie man, yeah, a lot of the time I will. But I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I think it's more like I don't want to sound like I don't want to sound like they're speaking to a child. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
Because we're talking about, you know, some serious stuff. I don't want them to get the impression that this person doesn't know what they're, you know, isn't capable because they sound like a child, you know.
Mm. In regard to putting your alter ego on, was it something that you adopted from your first job, like from the very beginning, or was it something that you kind of developed throughout your career?
I think from, yeah, like from when I started working, because my first job was as a receptionist at a physiotherapy clinic. And so it was very, very face-to-face with clients all the time, right? And naturally, I'm a pretty introverted person. So like socializing with people, making small talk, like that's not my strong suit. And so when I started working that job, it was like I was just coming to work and being a brand new person where I was like really good at small talk and like, you know, just meeting and greeting people with a smile on my face all the time. Like, and then that kind of carried on to where I am now, where I just kind of put it on. I wouldn't say it's not me. I wouldn't say I'm being fake, but I'm definitely like dialing up a different side of me that is probably usually pretty toned down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm. Is it tiring?
Mm. Yeah. That's why I think that's like, that goes to like my social anxiety, right? Like if you're anxious, if you're in an anxious state, yeah, it's going to make you tired. And so that's why like even this week I had to, I was hosting our team meeting and we had a guest and I literally wrote down the introduction speech of like how to introduce her into the meeting. Cause you know how like group meetings, especially over Zoom, is like super awkward. I don't know, at least in a corporate sense, like they're really super awkward because like everyone's silent, everyone's like waiting for, you know, the next person to talk. And so I like wrote down a script. I was like, why? I do a freaking podcast. Like I record a podcast every single week. Like this should be a walk in the park for me. But literally wrote down like even like informal talk, informal speech, I would write down a script to make it seem like it's like a casual, I'm introducing casually rather than, I would be like, I literally wrote down like, oh, so-and-so, so welcome again. Like, thanks so much for spending the time here today. But before we get into, you know, speaking to you, I'll just run through the agenda like really, really quickly. Like that, and I literally wrote down word for word what I was going to say, even though I tried to make it casual, like sound casual.
As casual as possible. Mm.
I don't see it negative, Vinny.
Me neither.
I think you're a chameleon and you are changing the color of your skin to be comfortable and to adapt to the situation that you've been put in.
In the corporate, when you work in corporate, you get people like Antoinette come in and they speak, they have talks like that.
Yeah, and you're just like nodding.
I should be in HR.
Yeah, you should. You should be.
And we're like, how much are we paying this person for this session?
Yeah. Yeah, and you always get that HR rep that comes in once a year to rev everyone up.
Yeah. And they would actually have a topic called like building confidence.
Yeah.
We would have like entire offsites. I don't know if you ever had offsites where you like spend the whole day on like building skills and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like we would literally have an entire offsite about building confidence.
And you go home with a little pamphlet.
No, I can't. I went home with a book. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you have an accountability partner from someone in your team to keep you accountable.
Yes. Oh, you know what's my favorite? When you have to review your manager and they give you the best, good, better, best. What do you do good? What can you do better? what would be the best scenario for me?
Oh, I've never done that before with my current manager.
Oh, I love it. And you know what? It works wonders in job interviews when you drop the good, better, best in there. They're like, oh, you've really paid attention in your training in previous roles.
Wow.
Oh, I need to take notes for that.
Yes, good, better, best. Yep.
Corporate life is so interesting.
I know. It is. I'm glad that I'm kind of out of it, kind of-ish. Mm. Not to the degree that you are, Vinny, thankfully. Not a good experience.
Yeah, mine's full corporate. It's like
yeah,
corporate jungle in there. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. So to end the podcast, I wanted to ask you guys if you could share some tips more broadly about how you can restore confidence to our ates and kuyas, whether it be body image related, work related, just a tip or two. Just the tip.
Just the tip.
My tip is, if you are feeling unsure, then you should like actually get it out. Like whether you speak to your partner, whether you speak to your manager, whether you speak to your colleagues, get it out there, and not, and as much as possible, try not to internalize it. Sure, internalize it to a point while you bubble, like while you try to get your feelings about it sorted, but actually get it out, because it people are there to help. And yeah, I would say let it out.
Yeah. When in terms of like career, I would probably just say try to not see people when people undermine you or your decision makings or your actions, but try to flip it in a way that, you know, they're challenging you and this is a challenge, and show them you can come out on top.
I like that.
Swag. You know what I mean?
That's something, really like that, Antoinette. Yeah.
That's something that I learned really early on, was like, oh, are they like undermining my decision making? Like, they don't think I'm like, I can do it, but it's a challenge. Like, do it. Prove it, because you're there for a reason and you can do it. And anything that happens in the workplace or in your career doesn't, much like anything in life, doesn't define you. Like, you know your skills and your abilities. And at the end of the day, if that workplace doesn't see that, then, you know, there's going to be a workplace that does appreciate your worth. In terms of body image and personal life, you know what? You need someone who's going to stroke your ego a little bit. Go out there and surround yourself with people who are going to uplift you. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Are you going to, should you be in HR? You really should.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Take me to the river, Annie. Take me to the river.
I'm going to take you to church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No, like, especially in COVID, like, I was just like, I don't feel like myself. And I just found that surrounding myself with the people who really uplift me, like you girls and my girlfriends, catching up with them, just made me feel like a sense of myself. And like I said, sometimes you need a little ego scratch, you know what I mean? And the people who love you and support you are going to fulfill your needs and what support you need at that time, if they really know and love you. So go and get yourself an ego scratch.
I love the tip. Thank you.
An ego scratch.
How are you going to follow up? How are you going to follow that up? And Vinning and Eloisa.
Mine's going to sound really, really dumb after that. But I would say, write down three things that you're most proud of.
I actually really like that. You know, like the fact that you still write a daily affirmation. Write down the positives.
I'm a writer.
I think that is a really good tip for people that love to write. Yeah. Because, it's when it's on paper, it's real. It's no longer a thought.
And it feels nice. And I have a, like, form at my work. We have, like, a to-do list. And
I repeat this task every day from Monday to Friday. I write an accomplishment and I like to call it sunshine. At my work, we call it sunshine. And we like do nominations to other people to make them feel good and to say thank you. And I do that to myself as well. Like, I'm like, sunshine to Aloysa for for making a good strategy today and to do so that when I am in those reviews, like, I can remember what I did. So whenever I'm feeling down or I'm not confident at work, I look at my sunshine thread of, like, all the nice things that, like, my clients and my work friends have said to me and something that I'm proud of for myself. And I read it and I feel so good.
I might implement that.
That's a good tip because, like, when someone says something about you and you start to think that they've reaffirmed what you think that you are, like, taking back that power and being like, no, I am not. And, like, you know when you're, like, in a group interview and they're like, talk about yourself and talk about three things that you like to do. You don't like to do that. Like, who likes to talk about themselves? So, like, it's a really good tip because it's like, another one, an ego scratch. Talk about yourselves. Like, it's fine. Like, take back your power and say, this is what I am, not what you say.
Oh,
wow.
I like that.
Wow.
That can be my daily affirmation for tomorrow. I'll make it a do tomorrow.
Lucky last winning.
I think Antoinette said it for me quite nicely. Fake it till you make it.
Chameleon.
Chameleon. Wait,
chameleon.
Oh, God, I was so
awesome. You come and go.
Where am I? My skin's changing. Okay. And with that, that's all we have time for.
Where did Annie go?
You're welcome.
I'm here. You didn't see me.
Because her skin changed, you know? Yeah,
Her skin disappeared.
Oh my God.
With that vanishing act, we really are going now. thank you, everybody, for giving us a listen, as always. Where you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and please share us to any of your family and friends. Send us any DMs. Like I said, if you're a manager or an aspiring manager, or you're a start, or just a regular employee, and you have tips on what I could do better to be a better manager, please send them through because our inbox is always open. We love hearing from you. Thank you again, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.